Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X or Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 7th of September 2024, and the title of today's show is Trump Wins Again, Threat Against Deep State Mounting, White Hat Victory, Nasara Jasara. So, I keep repeating myself every show. There's lots to cover this week, but then there always is, isn't there? So hopefully I can fit everything in and that you enjoy the show. So I'm going to start off with the latest news on the lawfare cases against Trump, which is why I said he wins again. And the first one relates to the hush money case. And Daily Caller reports Judge Merchan postpones Trump's sentencing date to after election. This was published yesterday. Judge Juan Merchan ruled Friday that former President Donald Trump's sentencing date will be postponed until after the election. Trump was set to be sentenced on September 18th. But Merchan pushed the date, if necessary, in quotes, to November 26, according to an order. Merchan wrote that the court is a, quote, fair, impartial and apolitical institution. Don't laugh. Noting his order, quote, should dispel any suggestion that the court will have issued any decision or imposed sentence either to give an advantage to or to create a disadvantage for any political party and or any candidate for any office, end quote. Carrying on, he said, the imposition of sentence will be adjourned to avoid any appearance, however unwarranted, that the proceeding has been affected by or seeks to affect the approaching presidential election in which the defendant is a candidate, Merchan wrote. In August, Trump's attorneys asked Merchan to postpone sentencing to allow Trump to pursue state and federal appellate options if Merchan denies their motion to toss the jury's verdict based on the Supreme Court's July ruling on presidential immunity. Setting aside naked election interference objectives, there is no valid countervailing reason for the court to keep the current sentencing date on the calendar, Trump's attorneys Todd Blanche and Emil Bove wrote in August. Trump initially was to be sentenced on July 11th, but Merchan postponed the date after the Supreme Court's ruling. The Manhattan DA witch hunt has been postponed because everyone realizes that there was no case. I did nothing wrong, Trump wrote on Truth Social following the order. It is a political attack against me by comrade Kamala Harris and other radical left opponents for purposes of election interference and is a case that should have never been brought. And then there's the January 6 case, and this is Gateway Pundit. Just in, Judge Chutkan set schedule in Jack Smith's Jan 6 case against Trump. Trial delayed past election day. This was actually on the 5th, so it was the day before the hush money decision. Judge Tanya Chutkan on Thursday evening set a schedule in Jack Smith's January 6 case against President Trump after a hearing earlier in the day. The trial is delayed past election day. However, Judge Chutkan is allowing special counsel Jack Smith to present so-called evidence against Trump shortly before election day so the media can hammer Trump as voters head to the polls to vote. Of course, they're still trying to interfere with the election. No surprise there. It continues. Fox News reported federal judge Tanya Chutkan will not hold a trial for former President Donald Trump on charges stemming from the special counsel Jack Smith's January 6 investigation until after the 2024 presidential election. Chutkan held a status hearing Thursday morning in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, in which lawyers for former President Trump pleaded not guilty on his behalf related to charges from Smith's new indictment after the Supreme Court ruled a president is immune from prosecution for official acts in office. In an order Thursday afternoon, Chutkan set deadlines for replies and paperwork from federal prosecutors and Trump's legal team for November 7th after Election Day. Earlier Thursday, Judge Chutkan came out swinging against the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity, saying the upcoming election is not relevant. Yeah, right. Last Tuesday, Jack Smith indicted President Trump again in Washington, D.C., following the Supreme Court's ruling on presidential immunity. The grand jury indicted Trump on the same four charges that were unveiled last August: conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. Trump's lawyers argued that Trump is immune from federal prosecution for alleged crimes committed while he served as U.S. president. Chutkan agreed to Jack Smith's irregular request to file an opening brief on September 26th to explain why the special counsel's superseding indictment isn't covered under the Supreme Court's presidential immunity ruling. Now, we've said all along that this is lawfare, and looky here, election interference. DOJ chief caught admitting in undercover footage that Trump indictments are politically motivated, exposes plot to make Trump a convicted felon and affect his candidacy. This was reported by Gateway Pundit on the 5th. The real threat to America's future isn't coming from Moscow, it's coming from Washington, D.C. In a bombshell video released by Louder with Crowder's Mug Club undercover unit, new footage reveals an explosive admission from a senior Justice Department official, suggesting that the ongoing legal battles faced by former President Donald Trump are part of a politically motivated campaign orchestrated by the deep state. The undercover video appears to show Nicholas Byers, chief of public affairs for the U.S. Department of Justice in the Southern District of New York, SDNY, admitting that the slew of criminal charges against Trump is part of a larger political maneuver designed to derail his presidential candidacy and to make him a convicted felon. In June, Representative Andy Biggs presented this timeline as evidence of an orchestrated collusion between the Biden regime and prosecutors to take down Trump. Biggs suggests that the sequence of events, Biden's controversial remarks, Trump's presidential bid announcement, Colangelo's resignation and subsequent move to Bragg's office, Smith's appointment and Wade's meetings with White House lawyers indicate a coordinated effort to prevent Trump from becoming president again. Trump, who was indicted in four separate criminal cases after leaving office in January 2021, now faces 88 criminal charges across these cases. These include 34 counts of falsifying business records, 40 counts related to mishandling classified documents, four charges of attempting to overturn the 2020 election, and 10 charges of election interference in Georgia. Trump was found guilty of all 34 counts in a high-profile New York trial that concluded in May 2024. But according to Byers, the case against the current Republican presidential nominee was driven by more than just legal factors. It was designed to derail Trump's chances in the 2024 election. In the undercover footage, Byers describes the prosecution as a, quote, perversion of justice, end quote, attributing it to Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's ambition to undermine Trump's candidacy for the upcoming 2024 presidential election. He was stacking charges and, like, rearranging things just to make it fit a case. No, honestly, I think the case against Trump in New York City is nonsense. Every real estate person in New York does what he, Trump, did. Nobody's ever been charged with this, Byers stated. Byers goes on to assert that the primary aim behind prosecuting Trump is to transform him into a convicted felon, which would severely impact his chances in the election. The point of prosecuting Trump was to make him a convict. It affects his candidacy if he's a convicted felon, he added. Byers also sheds light on his long-standing relationship with Bragg, stating that they have known each other for over 15 years. He expressed disapproval of Bragg's decision to pursue charges against Trump. Alvin is very ambitious, but, like, do I respect what he's doing? No, Byers confessed. More troubling still, Byers outlined a broader pattern of political lawfare, where Democrat-aligned prosecutors manipulate the judicial system for political gain. He pointed to Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis, who is pursuing Trump in Georgia over claims of election interference, as a prime example of this alleged abuse. Willis's case, Byers said, is, quote, a travesty of justice, end quote, a mockery of justice. She is a joke. The whole thing is disgusting. They're just out to get him, Trump, that is, he said. Stephen Crowder wrote on X, the court of public opinion might be more powerful than the court of law. If people believe that Trump is a criminal, he loses the election and goes to jail for something he is innocent of. You heard Byers explain it clear as day. The entire motivation behind the indictments were to make Trump a convicted felon and affect his candidacy. Very interesting revelations, which of course we always knew it was lawfare, but for it to be revealed by a member of the DOJ to confirm that our suspicions were true, it's really thrown all of those involved under the bus. So another win for Trump. And there's another win for Trump by way of RFK Jr. Slate News reports Kennedy secures major legal victories for Trump in two battleground states. This was published yesterday. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has just secured two significant wins over Democrats on behalf of President Donald Trump. Since ending his own independent campaign, Kennedy has requested the removal of his name from the ballots in several swing states. Kennedy opted to remain on the ballots in solid blue or red states to give his supporters room to cast a protest vote against both major party candidates. In some swing states, RFK Jr. draws more votes from Trump and in turn helps Democrat presidential nominee Kamala Harris. However, in an apparent effort to hurt Trump, Democrat officials in the battleground states of North Carolina and Michigan refused to remove Kennedy's name from their ballots. In response, RFK Jr. filed lawsuits to get his name forcibly removed. On Friday, Kennedy secured major back-to-back victories when the court sided with him. North Carolina's Democrat-controlled State Board of Elections denied Kennedy's request to remove his name from the state ballot. On Thursday, in response to Kennedy's lawsuit, a judge ordered that his name should remain on the ballots. However, the judge gave RFK Jr. until noon on Friday to appeal that decision. Kennedy did appeal the ruling. On Friday morning, the North Carolina Court of Appeals reversed the prior decision. North Carolina Board of Elections General Counsel Paul Cox has since ordered county election boards throughout the state to hold the mail-in ballots that were supposed to be sent out. The ballots will be held until the state board determines whether or not to appeal the decision. Our attorneys are reviewing the order and determining how to move forward, Cox said. No decision has been made on whether this ruling will be appealed. A similar scene played out in Michigan. Michigan's Democrat Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, refused to remove Kennedy's name after he requested that she do so. Benson rejected Kennedy's request despite arguing that left-wing independent presidential candidate Cornel West should be removed from the ballot. West only draws votes from Harris and not from Trump. Kennedy again filed suit against Michigan Democrats. On Friday morning, a panel of three judges ruled in his favor. The conclusion of their three-page decision was as follows. We conclude that the absence of any statutory authority prohibiting his withdrawal gave plaintiff a clear legal right to have his name removed from the ballot. Secretary of State Benson had no ability to disregard that request, and at this point, no other remedy aside from mandamus is available to plaintiff, given the impending deadline for defendant to send notice to local election officials. Accordingly, we hold that plaintiff is entitled to mandamus relief and that defendant shall remove plaintiff's name from the ballot as requested. Kennedy still remains on the ballot in Virginia and Wisconsin, meanwhile. So big wins for Trump. The question is, are we going to have Democrat dirty tricks incoming before the election? Or is this just another phase in the movie and the White Hats are in control of all of it? Apart from Trump's rants against the lawfare and the DOJ, etc., really, he's been pretty laid back during the whole process and hasn't let it get to him at all. So I think it's another example that there's more to this than meets the eye. Now, as well as losing these lawfare cases, or at least having the sentencing or the trials moved past the election date, they're also panicking over the threats to the deep state that are in Trump's list of plans for when he's re-elected. I think it's a two-pronged threat in terms of the visibility of his plans to voters, while Kamala Harris, the only plans or policies she's announced are copies of what Trump has already done or is planning to do. And so people are saying, you know, Kamala Harris and Waltz are hiding away, whereas Trump's out there in the public eye so much. But it's also what his policies are going to do to destroy the deep state. And Dan Scavino on X posted this thread: President Trump's plan to defeat inflation, make America affordable again, and return the United States to explosive economic growth. At the Economic Club of New York, September 5th, 2024, first, President Trump will immediately issue a national emergency declaration to achieve a massive increase in domestic energy supply. With these sweeping authorities, he will blast through every bureaucratic hurdle to issue rapid approvals for new drilling, new pipelines, new refineries, and new power plants and reactors. Prices will fall immediately in anticipation of new supply. Second, to further defeat inflation, President Trump will terminate the Green New Deal and rescind all unspent funds under the misnamed Inflation Reduction Act. Incidentally, Biden slipped up in one of his appearances where he went off script and more or less confirmed that the Inflation Reduction Act was in fact money being spent on the net zero scam. So it was a confirmation of what Trump was saying about the Green New Deal being part of it. Coincidence? I think not. Back to Dan. Third, President Trump will launch a historic campaign to liberate our economy from the crippling regulatory onslaught under Kamala Harris. In his second term, President Trump will eliminate a minimum of 10 old regulations for every one new regulation, which will massively lower prices and help defeat inflation. And instead of attacking industries of the future, President Trump will embrace them, including making America the world capital for crypto and Bitcoin. Fourth, at the suggestion of Elon Musk, President Trump will create a government efficiency commission tasked with conducting a complete financial and performance audit of the entire federal government and making recommendations for drastic reforms which will save trillions of dollars, further taming inflation and bringing prices down. Fifth, President Trump will make the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act permanent, cut taxes even more, and we will have no tax on tips and no tax on Social Security benefits. To further support the revival of American manufacturing, President Trump's plan calls for expanded R&D tax credits, 100% bonus depreciation, expensing for new manufacturing investments, and a reduction in the corporate tax rate from 21% to 15% solely for companies that make their product in America. If you outsource, offshore, or replace American workers, you are not eligible for any of these benefits. In fact, you will pay a tariff when a product comes in from another country. Sixth, under President Trump's leadership, America will encourage domestic production instead of punishing it, and once again turn America into the manufacturing superpower of the world. The key to this effort will be a pro-American trade policy that uses tariffs to encourage production here and bring trillions of dollars home. President Trump will ensure that the United States has a steel industry, an aluminum industry, a manufacturing base, and a defense industrial base. Seventh, President Trump will make housing much more affordable. As inflation is tamed, interest rates will fall dramatically, reducing mortgage rates back down toward 3%, saving the average home buyer thousands of dollars per year. He will eliminate regulations that drive up housing costs, with the goal of cutting the cost of new home builds in half, and a second Trump administration will open up portions of federal land for large-scale housing construction. These zones will be ultra-low tax and low regulation. Millions of Americans will take part in settling these safe and beautiful communities, reviving the frontier spirit and the American dream. Finally, with the success of President Trump's plan to defeat inflation, make America affordable again, and reignite explosive economic growth, he will create America's own sovereign wealth fund to invest in great national endeavors for the benefit of all the American people. This fund will help build extraordinary national development projects, everything from highways to airports to the transportation infrastructure of the future. The United States will be able to invest in state-of-the-art manufacturing hubs, advanced defense capabilities, and cutting-edge medical research, helping save billions of dollars by preventing disease in the first place. A second Trump administration will invest in new and modern agriculture techniques so we can have safe, healthy, high-quality foods for our families. This wealth fund will return a gigantic profit which will help pay down the national debt. Now, what wasn't mentioned in that thread, of course, was what RFK Jr. is going to be doing. And of course, the Make America Healthy Again agenda is to take on and take out big pharma, big food, big agriculture, and also go after chemtrails and those responsible for spraying our skies. And it also appears that it's likely that the UN will be taken down. I've got that in another report, I think. But, you know, the deep state must be panicking like crazy. And then to cap it all, Putin trolls the Dems and Kamala's cackle. This was published by Clandestine on his Substack on the 5th. Putin is hilarious. He says he supports Kamala and her laugh is fascinating. For those of you who don't understand, Putin is trolling. He's making fun of Kamala for being stupid. He doesn't actually support Kamala or Biden. He likes them because they are easy opponents on the geopolitical battlefield. But let's not kid ourselves. Putin wants Trump to win, and that's a good thing. Putin recognizes that if Trump is in office, the flow of money to Ukraine will stop. Trump is willing to make a deal and the war will end. Putin does not want this war. He just wants NATO off his doorstep. And Trump and RFK Jr. are determined to make that happen. Putin and his military have literally accused Biden, Obama, Hillary, Soros, and the Democrat Party by name of creating biological weapons in Ukraine. Putin is anti-woke. He frequently talks about the evils of Western liberalism and how the West have fallen into a degenerate and hedonistic society that engages in Satanism and pedophilia. He is pro-Christian, pro-family, pro-conservative lifestyle. Putin does not actually support Kamala, Biden, or the Dems, and the crowd know it and are laughing along because the statement is so preposterous and obviously said in jest. Putin also knows if he says he supports Trump, the Western MSM will freak out and accuse him of interfering in the election for Trump. So he said the opposite to troll the Dems while also poking fun at Kamala for being a cackling imbecile. And of course, now we've already got these news pieces about Russian interference again. It's like they can't come up with anything new. So hilarious. I'm going to share some sections out of the latest Ben Fulford report now. This was published September the 2nd, so it was the beginning of the week. In a white hat victory, Mark Zuckerberg and former UK Prime Minister talk conspiracy truth. In a sign the tide is really turning in favour of the white hats, the corporate media and former KM bosses have started telling the truth. For example, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg published a letter saying Joe Biden's administration repeatedly pressured Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, to censor certain COVID-19 content during the pandemic. Also, former UK Prime Minister Elizabeth Truss says in public, the Governor of the Bank of England is in charge of the UK, not the Prime Minister. She adds, that is a problem in a democracy. British Military Intelligence, MI6, is aware civilian governments have been hijacked and promised action to deal with the situation. Better late than never. The move by Zuckerberg is important because he is a member of the Rockefeller family. They control Meta, WhatsApp, and Instagram. This is a sign the Rockefellers have either been replaced or joined the White Hats. This follows the White Hat takeover of Google and the ongoing battle over Telegram, meaning the truth is winning over falsehood. It also is probably linked to US President Donald Trump saying Zuckerberg plotted against him during the 2020 election and promising the Meta chief executive would spend the rest of his life in prison if he did it again. However, I would add that the report I made earlier about the DOJ person Blaze admitting that or revealing that the lawfare against President Trump was politically motivated. This report, the video of that was, or the audio, I should say, was taken down on Facebook. So perhaps he's not so regretful after all and just continuing to censor things that the deep state doesn't want revealed. Ben continues, in any case, this means it's just a matter of time before the remaining sleeping sheeple learn their leaders have been trying to kill 90% of humanity and enslave the survivors. The most recent attempt was mass murder by vaccine, and the truth about this is leading inevitably to war crime trials. The takeover of social media by the White Hats is preparing public opinion for these tribunals. The Satanists are destined to lose because truth reflects the original creation and always wins in the end. This is especially true when it comes to satanically controlled central banks. No matter what sort of digital currency or other fiat created out of nothing money they try to use, they do not control the underlying physical reality. That is why China and the BRICS are defeating the West. No matter what fake statistics the West churns out, the physical reality is the BRICS now control 80% or more of the physical real world economy. For example, even if the US cuts off all imports from China, that would affect only 2% of China's GDP, while the loss of Chinese goods would devastate the US poor and working class. The Western White Hat Alliance, for its part, supports the BRICS idea of a world village instead of a centralized totalitarian KM theocracy. However, they are also willing to fight China if necessary. He mentions a high-level meeting between Western White Hats and Asian secret society representatives, but I'm not going to cover that. But what he does say is during the talks, the Asians were told the White Hat plan for the US was to have President Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate, J.D. Vance, resign for, quote, family reasons, and be replaced by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Well, we'll have to see about that. I'm not sure that's likely to happen because RFK Jr. is going to focus on the health side of this, and being vice president would obviously get in the way of that. It goes on, RFK Jr. says if President Donald Trump wins, people are going to see a very different Trump than they did during the first term. He said many interesting things about what he did wrong the last time. He had no idea he was going to win. He had no idea he was going to govern, and said, I appointed a lot of people I should not have appointed. I know who they are now. Working with the new and improved Trump, RFK Jr. promises he'll stop the criminal clandestine chemtrail operation poisoning Americans and citizens of other nations. In a sign Trump is already taking action, a New York City hotel has been taken over by the military. It seems the military is prepping for the inevitable arrests and deportation as Trump had promised, a Pentagon source comments. Donald Trump promises to deport people like the gang members who took over apartment complexes in Colorado, saying we're going to get them the hell out of here. These, of course, are the Venezuelan gangs. And since his report, we've also had reports of them doing the same thing in Chicago and also, I believe, in Dallas as well. By the way, as this video of Trump standing next to 5'8" Tulsi Gabbard shows, the Trump appearing in public is a white hat actor who is much shorter than the real Trump. Secret Space Force sources say he is representing the real Trump, who is at Cheyenne Mountain. The real Trump, who is 6'3", does sometimes appear in person under high security, they say. It also looks like the UN will be dismantled when Trump is back in office. A United Nations legal affairs official has said he doubts the UN will survive a second Trump term and admitted that his colleagues are terrified of his re-election. The functional parts of the UN will be taken over by a new organisation. In the UK, prominent Palestine peace activist Sarah Wilkinson, at S. Wilkinson BC, has been arrested at her home by UK police. UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer is arresting people for memes because he is being blackmailed, as are many of his colleagues, over pedophile crimes, MI6 sources say. The KM in the UK are using a fake King Charles to try to cling to power. As these news reports show, they seem to be hoping to replace a fake Charles with Prince Harry. Grim new report reveals King Charles is sleeping a lot and not well as he fights cancer. Prince Harry has sought advice from trusted former aides in Britain on how to mastermind a return from exile in the United States, the Mail on Sunday can reveal. And he refers to a photo he's included. If you look at the photo of Charles, notice the red eyes. This is always in CGI photos. They can't get the red out yet. The background is always blurred as well. Also, look at the right hand. Very strange. MI6 confirms they have no handwritten or physical proof Charles is alive. That is why they are trying to replace him with Harry. And incidentally, a little while ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, there was an announcement that the royal family needed a break and were retreating to Balmoral. And of course, we haven't seen Kate Middleton for months. If we did, it was CGI or photoshopped images. And I can't say I've seen anything of Prince William either, or the children. So I think there's some very interesting things going on with the royal family that presumably we'll hear about at some stage. Despite ongoing crimes by the KM, we are hearing from more and more sources that their rule is definitely ending. For example, the Club of Rome, infamous for previous calls to reduce population, now appears to want to join the White Hats. It has issued a report saying human civilization is now in deep trouble. But there are literally dozens of solutions available. All that is needed is the political will to shift towards governance, economic, financial and societal systems that service people, planet and prosperity at the same time. We are hearing that they have joined the BRICS in supporting a multipolar world, a jubilee and a massive campaign to end poverty and stop environmental destruction. I also want to share some encouraging news from the September message from Matthew Ward. They're published at matthewbooks.com. The messages are channeled by his mother, Susie Ward. Dear brothers and sisters, whether you were of that first wave of helpers, I think he's talking about the volunteers who Dolores Cannon writes about in her book, Four Waves of Volunteers and the New Earth, or one of its successors, you are honoured, thanked and loved by all light beings. What happens anywhere affects everything else, everywhere else. Thus your service to our universal family on Earth benefits life throughout this universe. And there's a question, why does all light forces action have to be behind the scenes? I would like to see some progress and feel our light really is doing some good. And the answer is, we understand your feeling. We experience the same when we live in third density to help the civilization change what they don't like about their world. Many of you have been exceedingly patient for a long time, some of you for a very long time. We can't speak about negotiations underway or light forces activity during this final act of eliminating darkness. However, we can tell you the growing numbers of nations that are conducting business outside the old systems is cutting out the Illuminati's lucrative profits. That development in international commerce and other recent setbacks are causing individuals in top ranks to defect. Major changes are on the way with Jassara and Nasara. The G was added for global, which more accurately describes the scope of the US legislation that provides legal footing for implementing a new global economic system. For the first time in the history of banking and commerce, those industries will function on stable, honest foundations, and at last the financial playing field will be level for all people and all nations. Have you ever wondered why Saint Germain, the principal architect of the National Economic Security and Reformation Act, it is no less than the blueprint for world transformation, chose to enact legislation in the United States? He saw the Rockefeller faction of the Illuminati spread beyond that country's west coast and keep going until they bumped up against the Rothschilds in the Mideast and continued their westward movement. They have controlled that vastness from Washington, D.C., where they literally have employed every presidential administration since their forebears stealthily established the United States Corporation more than two centuries ago. They manipulate all stock markets from Wall Street and set usurious interest rates via their privately owned Federal Reserve System, whose tentacles wrap around the globe. The act legally tears down that malicious worldwide empire. It also ends the corporate status of the states and installs the republic form of governance the nation's founders established in the Constitution. Dear ones, when beneficial changes on the horizon start reverberating around the world, your patience absolutely will be rewarded. Well, that's a very uplifting message, or part of a message from Matthew. I'm delighted to share it with you. If you listen to the Say What show, then you should hear the full message on that show, as Nancy and Walt and Dolly share it every month on their show. In other news, we have a breaking report from yesterday. Hunter Biden shocks courtroom, enters guilty plea, avoids trial, faces 17 years in prison. Pardon incoming. That's the expectation. Hunter Biden shocked the California courtroom on Thursday as he officially entered a guilty plea as a jury selection was underway for his federal tax evasion trial. Incidentally, I didn't mention this is Gateway Pundit reporting. In December, Hunter Biden was hit with a 9-count indictment filed in the Central District of California. Tax evasion, failure to file and pay taxes, and false fraudulent tax return. The charges were handed down by special counsel David Weiss after a sweetheart plea deal on tax charges fell apart last summer. The indictment details a 4-year scheme to avoid the $1.4 million+ tax obligations he owed between 2016 and 2019 and to file false returns. Hunter Biden initially entered an Alford plea, which allowed him to plead guilty while simultaneously maintaining his innocence. Federal prosecutors fought back, and Hunter Biden ended up entering a standard guilty plea. Judge Scarcy signed off on the guilty plea, which means Hunter Biden will avoid a trial. Hunter also knows his father, or Kamala Harris, if she's installed, will issue a pardon. Well, we'll see about that. Jonathan Turley, in an op-ed on Slay News, he says Hunter Biden will face prison time after legal death wish guilty plea. And apparently it's a penalty of up to 17 years in prison. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Hunter when Trump gets back in, because, of course, this is only the tip of the iceberg. If you look at all the other crimes he's committed as detailed on his infamous laptop, then I'm sure there'll be a lot more to follow, particularly around the influence peddling with his dear father and the Metabiota Biolabs as well. And, of course, you know, the images and videos of underage porn. Another piece of good news, this is from Vigilant News. New research shatters the climate change myth. Introduction. A revolutionary new study conducted by independent researcher Dai Ato has upended the climate change narrative. His groundbreaking multivariate analysis concludes that sea surface temperatures, SST, not human activities, are the primary drivers of atmospheric CO2 levels. The study, published in Science of Climate Change, shows that since 1959, no human impact on CO2 levels has been observed. This finding debunks the central argument of climate alarmism and exposes the climate change movement as a massive con to enrich green corporations. Sea surface temperatures, the real CO2 driver. Dai Ato's multivariate analysis focused on atmospheric CO2 increases since 1959, comparing the influence of sea surface temperatures, SST, with human-generated CO2 emissions. The results were clear. SST is highly correlated with CO2 increases, while human emissions had no significant impact. Ato found that natural variations in SST, not human actions, govern the fluctuations in CO2 levels. This finding aligns with past research highlighting the ocean's role in the carbon cycle, contributing 330 gigatons of CO2 annually compared to 37 gigatons from human emissions. The climate change grift exposed. For decades, the climate change narrative has focused on the idea that fossil fuel consumption drives global warming. This belief has led to the establishment of a $1 trillion green energy industry, benefiting corporations and ideologues while providing little environmental impact. Aalto's research has pulled the rug out from under this argument. Human efforts to curb CO2 emissions have been meaningless, yet climate alarmists continue pushing for net zero policies that devastate economies and enrich elites. Aalto's study shows that the real cause of CO2 increases is the natural warming and cooling of the oceans. The net zero cult ignoring science for profit. The climate movement, much like the COVID response, has become a quasi-religious cult that refuses to acknowledge scientific evidence. Despite studies like Aalto's, the green industry will continue profiting from the climate narrative, much like pharmaceutical companies did with endless vaccine boosters. The facts are undeniable. Man-made CO2 emissions are not driving climate change. It's time to stop wasting trillions on ineffective green solutions and start focusing on real human needs like healthcare, poverty reduction, and technological innovation. It's interesting that this report should liken the climate cult to the COVID cult, because earlier today I saw a report that Klaus Schwab, some time ago, I'm not sure when it was exactly, I don't have the article in front of me, but he was saying that the COVID situation, the pandemic, was a test to see how compliant people would be in response to demands for lockdowns. And we've seen that they have plans to introduce climate lockdowns. So the fact that this is all being debunked, and of course we've had thousands of climate scientists jointly say that there is no such thing as human-caused climate change. So this is another domino falling in the WEF agenda, the 2030 agenda. Although no doubt the mainstream media will ignore it and keep pushing the climate change scam, as they do with everything else that the WEF tells them to do. Of course, it's not just about Agenda 2030 in terms of the lockdowns. It's also about another wealth grab. And I'm just going back to this article, conclusion, the grift is over. The new study confirms what climate skeptics have long suspected. The climate crisis is nothing more than a massive wealth redistribution scheme backed by faulty science. With the truth now out in the open, it's time to rethink our energy policies and end the grift. And of course, this is the other comparison with the COVID scam, because there was a massive wealth redistribution during the COVID lockdown period, and also the massive profits that these pharmaceutical companies made from the sale of these kill shot vaccines. Not to mention the kickbacks that a lot of the people pushing the vaccines were given by these very same pharmaceutical companies. Another quick piece of good news is that there's been another defection from the Democrat Party. This was on X, I nearly said Twitter again. It's from George at Behazy Tweets. Breaking: California Democrat Gloria Romero, who served as the state Senate Majority Leader, has just announced that she's leaving the Democrat Party and becoming a Republican and will be voting for Trump this November. This was 2 days ago. Today I say goodbye. Adios. I've had enough. I am now another near lifelong Democrat who is joining the growing number of people, including key groups like Latinos, who are leaving the Democrat Party. This is amazing. Last week, a Democrat who represents Houston in Texas also switched parties, and now an influential Democrat from California is doing the same. God is moving. Also on X, just a little while earlier, I found a post from SGAnon, and I just want to share this with you. For a little perspective, over the last 12 weeks in the USA, we have had a president call for a political opponent to be put in the crosshairs, a leading opposition candidate, and the only candidate who has pledged to stop all war, shot in an assassination attempt which has yet to be investigated. A president quit the election race through a social media post and a letter lacking the correct presidential letterhead. A vice president began campaigning against both her boss and the opposition candidate by pledging to fix the failures of the administration she is currently part of. The end of the 50-year exclusivity agreement, which first birthed the worldwide petrodollar hydra. Foreign-originated paramilitary gangs begin overtaking infrastructure and buildings across multiple U.S. states. The leading opposition candidate espoused that he is hopeful the U.S. military will revolt at the voting booths on November 5, 2024. The owner and CTO of X, formerly Twitter, and the largest U.S. DOD civilian contractor, tapped to head a government efficiency commission for the leading opposition candidate. The leading opposition candidate pledged to create a national sovereign wealth fund for the USA. Are we having fun? Nothing can stop what is coming. The great awakening is here. Where we go one, we go all. And homeless zombie apocalypse replies, and add to that all the important SCOTUS cases decided around the end of June, the Chevron case and the Grants Pass case on homeless camping, etc. Lots of amazing things happening fast. And Kat says, drip, drip, flood. What a time to be alive. Oh, and I must tell you, I was just scrolling through X trying to find a post I want to share with you, and it reminded me that when I was talking about these defectors from the Democrat Party, Alan Dershowitz has just announced that he's left the Democrat Party. He's not joining Republicans. He's going to change to being independent, and said he'll make his decision about who he votes for at the last minute, probably the 1st of November. But there's so many saying they're leaving the Democrat Party, or the Democrat Party has left them because they've become such extremists. So it's more good news, I'm glad to say. So I found the X post I wanted to share with you. It's from the Yorkshire Lass, and she's a real truth seeker and influencer from the UK, from Yorkshire actually. And I wanted to wind up with some news from the UK, because of course we're going through hell over here. And it's something that I've been saying on the show a few times. And what she writes is, Keir Starmer reminds me of what Biden has been doing in the US for the last 4 years. Starmer has been put in number 10 optically as part of a massive disclosure of the UK swamp. He is in position on the world stage to expose himself and the establishment. He will take the whole lot down with him. We are witnessing the full collapse of the UK government in real time, and controlled Starmer, or whoever is playing him, is doing an amazing job. As much as it's hard for us to watch as we are awake to what's really going on, the normies need to see it with their own eyes. Believe me, controlled Starmer isn't going to last that much longer. And I replied, I agree, I've been saying this for weeks. The great reveal in the UK is playing catch up to the US. When Trump gets in, he'll take the whole evil cabal down. It'll be glorious. MAGA, MBGA, make Britain great again. Make America healthy again. Make Britain healthy again. And she follows it up with another post, which was 2 days ago. I mean, usually the Cabal bring in draconian measures very softly, very discreetly, so people don't notice it. Starmer has literally gone full-blown Nazi regime within 8 weeks. If I was part of the military and trying to wake people up in the UK, that's how I would do it. Because we know how asleep and indoctrinated people are here. All I'm saying is I've not met a person yet that actually likes Keir Starmer. People are pissed off with the lies and deceit from the Labour government. They are angry and upset on how they are targeting certain people in their policies. For example, working class people and pensioners who are getting hit the hardest. So whatever control Starmer is doing, it's working, and that's where we need to be. The masses need to lose complete trust in the UK government, and unfortunately the best person to do that is Starmer. This is all part of the Great Awakening. Enjoy the show. And I must concur with that, because I had a conversation on the phone with my brother yesterday, who I tried to persuade not to take the vaccine. Unfortunately, he wanted to travel and took the AstraZeneca, but thankfully has not had any adverse effects. Touch wood, hopefully he won't. And he's been waking up slowly, from what I've been telling him. And last night we were talking about Starmer and the Labour Party, and I expressed what I put on X, that this is a major red pill to wake people up. And it's certainly woken him up, because he's now saying that he's totally fed up with this and he wants to get involved. So much so that he said he's thinking of becoming an MP for the Reform Party, which would be absolutely wonderful, and I would certainly support him in doing that. So, yes, it is a major red pill going on, and it continues, because every week we get more draconian measures imposed upon us by this dictatorial government. Here's another post by Yorkshire Lass, which was yesterday. Blue badge holders to no longer park for free under new council plans. The blue badge is for disabled drivers or disabled occupants of the car. First, the unelected controlled Labour government goes after the pensioners. Now they're going after the disabled. Could they sink any lower? This is surely going to piss a lot of people off. Eventually, they'll take out all the free parking for disabled people and replace it with facial and number plate recognition. Agenda 2030 is in full swing. Lucky for us, awake, we know it's all a shit show to wake up the normies. Hard to watch, but necessary. So, yes, in summary, Starmer and his administration, his cabinet, are doing a great job waking people up in droves, I must say. The other parallel is that Tony Blair is, as a WEF puppet, interfering a lot in what's going on as well. And I did say in a previous show that there was a report that Starmer was actually mentored by Obama. So that kind of says it all, doesn't it? Okay, so that's all the news I have for you this week. I hope you've enjoyed the show and you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show. I'd like to remind you that you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, and I've got quite a few new offerings in the pipeline, which include some hypnotherapy audio tapes to get your mind working on attracting wealth and manifestation and self-confidence and communication skills, you name it. I'm going to be building up a range of hypnotherapy audios, which actually are more powerful than guided meditations, because they take you into a much deeper trance, which has a greater influence on your unconscious mind. So if you're interested in any of those or have a particular request for one, then just drop me an email at jan@thesuccessalchemist.net, or you can use the contact form on my website. Again, it's thesuccessalchemist.net. So thank you to Nancy for producing the show and to Derek Condit for sponsoring Cosmic Reality Radio. And you can find him at mysticalwares.com. So until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.